If you picked up a pencil when you came in the door, I want you to grab that pencil, grab that paper worship guide, and I want you to write something down in the notes section at the bottom of the page. Now, if you're one of those paperless people in the room, we have this ready for you on our mobile app. Just click the button that says today's sermon, and you see a spot halfway down the page there for some personal notes. I'm going to give you six words. If you were here last week, you heard these six words. If you're here next week, you're going to hear these exact same six words. Here are six words that I want to burn into your memory and never forget them. Would you write these six words down in the notes section or the personal notes section of your sermon, the sermon notes today? Here's the first three words. Finish the mission. And by mission, I am referring to what you just saw on that screen, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, what's called the Great Commission. This is Jesus's one instruction. I'm leaving earth, church. I'm putting you in charge of the mission of God. Here's my one thing that I want you to do. First three words, write down, finish the mission. And then right next to them, write these three words down. In our lifetime. What you just heard in that video a second ago said that we are the first generation, perhaps in all of human history, that can accomplish this statement on the screen. And what I started saying to us as a church last week is, if we can do this, we must do this, and we must do it in our lifetime. Last week, I told you all of the sermons for the month of March in 30 seconds. I'm going to go back over all of them for you today. Last week, I challenged our church, would you open your life up to three people that do not know Jesus and pray that God would use you to reach one of those three people or perhaps all of those three people this year with your faith? Today's sermon, the challenge is, with one person who gives their life to Christ, would you go deep with them? Would you build that one person to become a passionate follower, but more than that, a trained leader in God's kingdom? And next Sunday, here's where we're going to go. Then would the two of you next year go out and do it with two more people who will go out and do it with two more people till everybody on the planet hears about King Jesus? Now, I've said before in our church, we're a church that is attempting to do one thing, and that one thing is the Great Commission, and you can narrow that entire passage from two verses in the Bible, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, down into two words. Church, you've heard this from me a lot, so please don't let me down on this one. What are those two words that summarize the whole Great Commission? Say it out loud. And three people heard me. So I'm going to give everybody a chance to say it again, but come on, y'all, say it like you really mean it. What are the two words that describe this whole thing we're talking about? Say it out loud. Make disciples. Thank you. Make disciples. Okay, there's a problem with this statement, make disciples. If you didn't grow up in church, the problem is with the word disciple. Because it's a great Bible word. In fact, it perfectly describes what we're talking about today. But here's the problem with this word. If you didn't grow up in church, you probably don't understand the word disciple. You don't really understand what that means, because this is a Bible word that just doesn't get used in the office, doesn't get used when you're at the gym. Chances are you're not talking about discipleship to somebody who's never been in church before in their life. So I'm going to give you a better way to understand. We're still going to use the word disciple, but let me give you a way to understand what this word means. Maybe the best illustration of this word, the best one-for-one, parallel for this word would be the idea of apprentice. Somebody who learns from you, and you're teaching somebody so that they can master a skill, and when they've mastered the skill, they can make an apprentice of somebody else. Here's what I want you to understand from this sermon today. You can just write this down, because this is exactly where we're going to go with this sermon today. Every apprentice, or the word is really disciple, every apprentice needs someone to teach her the trade. Every apprentice needs somebody to teach him how to do what discipleship asks them to do, and then expect them to go do it with somebody else. So what we're going to look at for just the next few moments is, as easy and as simple of a description of what this looks like as I can possibly make it. Please don't be offended, but I'm going to make this as easy to understand as possible in three simple steps. And here's why I'm making it as easy as possible to understand. I've been surprised over the last year by the number of people that have been in our church for a long time who said, Jeff, I've heard the language, make disciples, make disciples, make disciples, but I'm really not sure how to do that. How do we do that? Well, here it is today, as easy as I can make it, in three steps, what the Bible describes making disciples looks like. Step number one, would you write this down? It's building leaders. The Great Commission does not ask people to be followers of Jesus only. Listen to the word only. The Great Commission doesn't ask you to be a follower of Jesus only. There's an expectation in those two verses that you would become a leader. Don't get me wrong, you must at least be able to follow before you can start to lead. But the idea is that you don't stop at following. You continue going until you're leading others, and not just leading others. Here's what I'm going to tell you today. Leading leaders, leading others who are leading others. This is, by the way, not Jeff's language. This is what Calvary Baptist Church expects of everyone who's been in this church for more than a few weeks or a few months. You should become a leader. And this isn't just from Calvary Baptist Church. This comes straight out of the Bible. I want you to hear what the Bible describes for us in in Hebrews chapter 5, when people are not moving beyond being a follower to leading others to be followers who become leaders as well. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 11. And I didn't write this. Don't get mad at me, but maybe this is some of you in this room right now. We have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. I'm going to pause for just a second. We don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we do know that this book was written to people who grew up good Jewish boys and girls and trying to explain to them how Jesus completely fulfilled everything that the Old Testament said would happen in the coming Messiah. By the time that you get to Hebrews chapter 5, the guy who's writing this to these good Jewish boys and girls that know the Bible, he says, I wish I could explain more stuff to you, but the stuff that I have to explain to you, it's kind of difficult for you to understand. And look at the language on the screens. I didn't write this. The reason why I can't explain it to you is because some of you who have been in church for a long, long time, or perhaps your whole life, you became too lazy to understand. And then he describes what this looks like in the next verses. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, leaders, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, if you've been in church before, you probably heard this verse used to describe baby Christians. Baby doesn't mean only a Christian for a few weeks. Baby means still using the basic, the very milk part of the Bible, not able to get to the meat part of the Bible because you haven't done the hard work of going from just a follower to becoming a leader of leaders is what we're describing today. Verse 13, now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced. You could say infant with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. I believe, absolute honest with you for just a moment, I believe churches give the pastors exactly what they expect of people that come to church over time. Let me explain what I mean by that. When you've been coming to the same church for a while, the church should place some expectations on you as you move in your faith, as you grow in your faith. But can we just be honest? If I were to go and visit many churches today, if I were to just sit in their pews and objectively listen to what they're really asking of people, here's what I This is just Jeff's honest opinion. Here's the impression that I get from most pastors many Sundays. The only thing that you want from people that are out there sitting listening to you is their money. That's all you care about. And if that's all that you're expecting of them, that may be all that you get from them. But when I read the New Testament, especially when I read the Great Commission, I hear, oh no, Christians are supposed to be able to deliver a whole lot more than just that. In fact, they're supposed to first become followers of Jesus, but they don't stay there. They move to the point that they become leaders who are leading others to be followers of Jesus. And I would say taking another step further, leading others to become leaders of others who are followers of Jesus. This, y'all, is an epidemic in American churches. And I didn't make these numbers up. 2009, an organization called TNET International, based out of Colorado, surveyed 4,000 people, regular church members in America. And it asked those people, been going to church regularly for a long, long time, hey, would you tell me about your faith right now? And would you tell me where you are in your relationship with Jesus today compared to where you were 6 months or 6 years ago? You ready for the results? Here's what happened when 4,000 regular church-going people were asked this question. 41% of them said they're static or they're stale in their faith. Their faith is no different today than where it was 6 months or 6 years ago. 24% said that it's actually worse today than what it was. They use the words that they are sliding backwards in their faith from 6 months or 6 years ago. Did you just do the math in your head? 65% of everyone surveyed from 4,000 regular church-going people in America said, I'm no different today than I was 6 months or 6 years ago. In fact, many of them said, I'm actually worse today than I was 6 weeks, 6 years, 6 months ago. And the Bible is saying, if you just stay at following Jesus, you haven't reached the God-given potential that he's calling everyone in this room to. It's moving beyond followership to leadership. Don't hear me wrong. You must first be a follower before you can become a leader. But we don't stop at leadership. Calvary Baptist Church doesn't ask you to stop at followership. We expect you to get to leadership. This was a problem not just in our day. Was a problem in Bible times. And that's why this guy is writing to Christians saying, y'all are stuck in your faith. Some of you are worse off than your faith. And we would teach you the deeper stuff if we could, but we can't. So here's what I'm asking. Calvary Baptist Church is going to expect you, if you make this your church home and you've been coming here for a while, we're going to expect everyone in this room to start leading at some level. Look, don't get freaked out by the word leadership. Because at its very essence, the word leadership just simply means influencing somebody else who can influence somebody else. That's all we're asking you to do. But we're expecting you, don't stop at the followership level. Move to the leadership level. This is what it looks like to take ownership of the Great Commission, to take ownership of your faith and expecting others to do the same thing. The first step, as simple as I know how to make this in making disciples and building people up in the faith, is to just simply build them into leaders. Second step is to model Jesus for them. Okay, Jeff, you said that we're supposed to be making people leaders. How do I do that? What does it look like? Well, the answer to that question is that you just start to display your faith, live your faith out in such a way that they're living their faith out like you, and they're trained up so that they can do the same thing with other people. This is what modeling Jesus looks like. There's one verse in the New Testament, one verse with only 7 words in the New Testament that I think incredibly vividly demonstrates what modeling Jesus is supposed to look like for us. 7 words that make this perfectly clear to us on how to do this. Here they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Imitate me as I imitate Paul. Or as Paul, the author of this verse, imitates Christ. Now you need to understand, the guy who's writing this verse, the Apostle Paul, He is writing to people that are relatively new to their faith in this very unchristian city, this brand new church. And he's saying, I expect you to do church like this. As I poured into you, I expect you in this church in the city of Corinth to pour into other people as well. Do y'all know the word imitate that's up there on the screens? The word really means to copy. But I don't want you to think like copy machine, put the original in the document feeder, hit the number 3 or the number 4 button, and it makes up 3 or 4 copies of it. Think 3D printer. Actually, that doesn't really describe the word. The real word imitate means that you're copying somebody in their actions, and you're copying somebody in their attitudes, and you're copying somebody in their heart, their thoughts, their desires. Really what he's saying here is I want you to model Jesus like I'm modeling Jesus. I want you to model me in your head, in your heart, and I want you to do it in your hands as well. As I'm following Jesus, I want you to follow me. And by the way, the word as is incredibly important in this verse because this word means to the same extent that I do it, just like I'm doing it, in the same way that I'm doing it, I want you to do this with other people as well. This verse, if you have an English translation of the Bible in front of you, a paper Bible, if you look down at it, chances are this verse is it's recorded with the rest of chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. And then there's a break after this verse, and chapter 11 starts at verse 2. There's another break at verse 2. What the Bible translators are trying to tell you is this verse goes better with chapter 10, verses 31 through 33 than it does with chapter 11, verse 2. Go back today and read those verses in chapter 10. Because here's what those verses are going to tell you. Everything that you do, do it for the glory of God. And by the way, don't do anything that's going to cause another brother or another sister in the faith to stumble. But here's how those verses end. What you do, do it for the purposes of seeing other people come to faith in Jesus, to be saved because of your witness, your influence on them. That's what chapter 10, verse 33 says. And then chapter 11, verse 1 says, just like that, just like I did for you, it's time for you to do that with other people. It's time for you to do that to the same extent, for the same reasons, the same way that I did it for other people. Really quickly, I'll tell you a true story. I wish you could have been there in the room because it broke my heart. I don't think I'll ever forget it. I was in the office of a pastor in Atlanta of a very large church. And in a moment of honesty, he made a statement to me that struck me that I don't think I'll ever forget. He said, Jeff, I've been in ministry my entire life. I have, listen to this number, I didn't make this up. I have personally, because of my ministry or because of the churches that I've pastored, seen more than 20,000 people baptized in my lifetime. And I don't think I've been making disciples all along. More than 20,000 people have found out about Christ. More than 20,000 people have followed him in baptism because of me. But I don't think I've made disciples. And if I could go back and do it all over again differently, I would do this differently. What he was saying is basically, I haven't been training up leaders. I haven't been showing people, modeling for people how they can lead others and teaching them how to model for people how they can lead others. Here's what we're trying to teach around here at Calvary Baptist Church. If you are personally the one who leads somebody to Christ, then you should be the one discipling them. Then you should be the person that's upstairs in the baptistry baptizing them. Because you're the reason why they became a follower of Christ. And by the way, we're not going to leave you by yourself and feed you to the wolves on this one. One of our pastors will coach you and coach that person who's about to be baptized through this whole process. But then you're also the person that is teaching them how to do with somebody else what you just did with them. And you keep teaching them until they're doing it with somebody else. And then you teach somebody else how to do it with somebody else until everyone becomes a follower of Jesus. First, you're building leaders. Second, you're modeling Jesus. And third, as plain as I know how to make this, you're actually multiplying yourself. So I want to ask you, think for just a second about the answer to this question, because I'm going to ask you in just a moment to write this name down. If this was your last year on planet Earth, if you knew that you wouldn't be around in 2019, who is one person that because of you this year will carry on your faith in the same way to the same extent that you did it until Jesus comes back again? Can you think of one person right now who you know they would be doing this and they would be doing it the same way you're doing it with somebody else after you're gone? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to put that name on your mind right now, because we want to pray for you. We want to be praying for that person when we wrap up this service today. Here's what multiplying yourself looks like, and it's found actually in one verse in the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:2. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, but really, an easy way to memorize multiplication is 2 Timothy 2:2 shows you exactly what multiplication looks like. Here's what the Bible says. You, therefore, my son, this is Paul writing to a disciple of his, writing to Timothy. You, therefore, my son, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 2 and notice four different levels of multiplication in one verse. What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let's break this verse down for just a second. Paul said, I taught you, Timothy, and I taught you with a very specific aim in mind. I taught you in such a way that now you're trained up and you're ready to teach somebody else. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy, I'm expecting you to teach other men. The word up here on the screen, the phrase up here on the screen is faithful men. And Timothy, you're supposed to do with these faithful men exactly what I did with you. You're supposed to teach them, notice what it says, how to teach others also. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy's teaching men. These men are teaching others. Wait a second, Jeff. You said four levels. I only see three. Who taught Paul? Who was the one who Paul can say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, follow me, Timothy, follow me, Corinth? Who's the one Paul's following? Say it out loud. Christ. Christ taught Paul. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy's supposed to teach faithful men. Faithful men are supposed to teach other men also. Till everybody on the planet has heard about Jesus Christ. This word, faithful men, that you see on the screens, let me tell you what John Calvin in his commentary on 2 Timothy said about that phrase. John Calvin said, it is correct to translate the word faithful as men who are concerned to perpetuate the teaching that is entrusted to them. John Calvin said, if you're not doing this with somebody else who is also going to do it with somebody else, who is also doing it with somebody else, you couldn't call yourself one of those faithful men like the Bible describes for us today. I just want to put this multiplication principle at work for us today, because the math really does work out. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of you were in our church on January 7th of this year? First Sunday of the year. Raise your hand up high. Raise it up really, really high, like everybody in the room can see you. Okay. January 7th of this year, we placed before you as a church a challenge, a goal for 2018. That goal was to baptize 110 people in the year 2018 in Calvary Baptist Church. If you're not familiar with the numbers around here, we have on an average Sunday somewhere between 550 and 650 people that are in worship or on our campus on Sunday mornings around here, which means if one out of five or one out of six of you actually did this year and the other four or five just sat on their hands and did nothing and watched you do it, let me tell you how this would work out. If we reached 110 people as a church this year, only 110 people in this room reached one person this year, and then next year, you spent 12 months investing in that person, building them into a leader, and modeling Christ for them, and then expecting them to go out and do this with somebody else. Listen to this math. Here's what would happen. If no other church on the planet, and if four out of five or five out of six of you did nothing. Just 110 of us in this room reached one person this year, trained them up, sent them out next year to go reach one person, and we did it all over again. Here's what the numbers say. In 11 years, everyone in the Chattahoochee Valley would become a disciple of Christ, an apprentice of an apprentice who is apprentice of somebody else in 11 years' time. If it was just us, nobody else on the planet, and only 110 of us in this room, and nobody else bothered to lift a finger, in 16 years, everyone in your state would become a follower of Jesus. In 20 years, everyone in America would become a follower of Jesus. In 25 years, more than the entire world's population would become a follower of Jesus. I didn't make this math up. This is why I'm convinced we can finish the mission of God, complete the Great Commission in our lifetime. In fact, we can do it in 25 years. If it was us and only us and nobody else lifted a finger and only 110 of us in this room did it, it would happen in a quarter of a century, that the whole world would become followers of Jesus. So the challenge for all of us today is, will you take your faith and will you hand it off to somebody else with a very specific goal in mind, that you're going to teach them and train them how to take their faith and hand it off to somebody else? And then the two of you will start with two more people, who will take four more people, who will take eight more people, until everyone on the planet has heard about Jesus. Will you do that by going deep this year with one person that you led to Christ personally? And my guess is some of you in this room are still freaking out about this a little bit. And I don't mean in a bad way. You're just a little bit unsure about what does this look like. Well, here's the answer on exactly how to do this. It's found in front of you every week. In fact, we say this in a video every week before our service starts. See these discussion questions? They're on your mobile app. They're in this worship guide. Notice they're worded, they're numbered 1 through 7, 6 questions and then a prayer almost every week for 5 years around here. And this is your personal way, just grabbing 1 or 2 or 3 people who don't know Jesus and starting the conversation with them about how to know Jesus. Just take what you've heard in church, ask some of these questions with them. Do it at your house, do it at your office, do it at the gym, do it wherever, at a coffee shop. It doesn't matter. Start doing this with 2 or 3 people that don't know Jesus. And when one of them becomes a follower of Jesus, go deep with them. By the way, you're already an expert in what you heard today in church. So even if they have some questions for you and you don't know the answers to, it's all good. These questions are just designed to start the conversation going and eventually let the Holy Spirit take over the rest. And somebody goes from not following Christ to becoming a believer in Jesus Christ because of you. And when they've done that, you go deep with them, really deep with them, and teach them how to do this with somebody else. That's what making disciples looks like. That's what it looks like to build people up in the faith and to encourage them to go out and to do this with somebody else. I said a minute ago that we are going to ask you who this one person is that you could do this with right now, because you've already led them to faith in Christ and you're ready to start teaching them how to do this with somebody else. On that worship guide, either in the mobile app or in the paper, you see some next steps. This is us saying, don't just hear the Bible. Do something with what you've heard today. Maybe that name is right now on the tip of your tongue. And if so, we'd like to know what it is. You have this little golf pencil so that you can write that name in on this worship guide. Tell us the first name only. That's all we need. Just the first name of this person. And then our pastors and our elders will be praying for you and we'll be praying for that person. If you got the mobile app open, if you click that button that says next steps, you see on that third next step, a little box where you can click that box. And when you click that box, it's going to give you the chance to tell us the first name of that person. That's all we're asking for. Just give us a first name. And we'll pray that by this time next year, you and that person are trained up and ready to go do this with somebody else. But maybe you would say, honestly, Jeff, I don't have that person right now. That's number 2 on that screen. That really represents me. And if that's you, we want to pray for you. We want to pray that God will give you the doors, open the doors up, maybe through these discussion questions, to start to reach somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ this year. But I don't know, maybe somebody in this room would have to say, I haven't even started this discipleship thing. I'm not even a follower yet. So I certainly can't be a leader yet. And if that's you, we want to give you a chance today to nail this down once and for all. So I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads, and I'm going to say a prayer for us. And if this prayer represents you, I'm going to invite you to pray silently. In fact, I'm going to invite you to pray for the people around you that maybe they need to take a next step, and maybe God would hear your prayers and challenge them to take some next steps today. Let's pray together. Father, I lift up to you people that are in this room. God, would you cause somebody in this room to say, I'm going to go deep. I'm going to build into one person. I'm going to do just very naturally what God created me, called me, and saved me to do. And he's asking me to do this with somebody else. And Father, if you're placing a name on somebody's mind right now, Holy Spirit, would you help them to write that first name down and then turn it in to us so that just the folks around here can be praying for each other, can be encouraging one another. But maybe some folks in this room would have to honestly say, that's not me. I don't even know where to start on this. And if that's the case, God, would you help us to encourage or to follow up with them? Maybe somebody walked into the doors of this room. God, I can't see people's souls, but you can. And maybe somebody walked into the doors of this room not really starting a relationship with Jesus. And maybe today you're calling them to turn their soul over to Jesus for the first time. If that's the case, then Father, would you cause somebody right where they're sitting, in the sincerity of their own heart, to just simply say, God, I'm a sinner. I see it. I can't get to heaven on my own. And so right now today, for the first time in my life, I am turning from my sins and I am trusting Jesus for the first time. God, if that prayer is real, if it's sincere, would you give us the privilege of following up with them and encouraging them in their faith? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did y'all notice this on the stage today? It's pine season around here. And I asked David Pittman, because he's the expert on this, not me. Would you give me some help on this, David? How does a pine tree make more pine trees? This little tip at the end of every pine branch that you see, this little thing, it's actually an infant pine cone. And that pine cone, when it gets pollinated, that pine cone will eventually turn into this thing. Y'all have seen these things for all of your life. Most of you have seen a lot more of these than I have. But do you know this pine cone? Later on in the summer, it's going to heat up, it's going to get older, and it's going to open up, and this thing is going to eventually turn into this. And when these blades open up, every one of these contains a seed that the wind will take, and it will blow off of the pine cone, and it will spread those seeds all over the southeast, and there'll be pine trees all over the southeast from every tip on every branch of every pine cone. This branch alone, or this pine cone alone, this is small by most pine cone standards, has about 150 seeds on it. And those seeds will blow all over. And just this cone from just one branch of just one tree can produce about 150 more pine trees. Want to know why they're everywhere around here? Because this is everywhere around here. But here's what I want you to hear, church. In fact, I want you to see this every time you drive by pine trees today. This pine cone is just doing exactly what God created it to do. It's just taking seeds and spreading them out, and those seeds become trees which have pine cones, which have seeds, which become more pine trees. This cone is just doing exactly what God created it to do. And when you train somebody up in the faith and you send them out to train somebody else up in the faith, you're just doing exactly what God has called Christians to do. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus gave his church the Great Commission, this thing is what you and I are supposed to be doing until everyone in the world hears about Jesus, until we finish the mission of God in our lifetime. We're going to transition to a part of the service where we take the Lord's Supper together. And this is an act for Christians, only for those who are already in the faith. But in just a moment, I'm going to say a quick prayer. I'm going to invite you to get up out of your seats, to go to the right, come to one of these tables around this room in the balcony over in Hightower Hall. And as a family, come here, take the bread, dip it in the juice, and take the Lord's Supper together. This is just bread. It's just grape juice. But it represents Jesus' body that was broken on a cross, his blood that was poured out so that you and I could be made right with God. It looks back 2,000 years ago. But this event also looks forward to the great banquet in the sky that's waiting for all of God's children when we do this meal face to face with Jesus one day in the future. So come to this table, remembering what he's done for us in the past, but rejoicing for what's waiting for us in the future. And if something's not right for you today, it's okay to abstain. Really, we're not going to look down our noses at you. Why don't you just bow your heads? Let me say a prayer. And then I'm going to invite you to come to the Lord's table and take the Lord's Supper together today. Father, would you bless your church? Would you encourage them right now as they come together as families and take your supper with you in your presence? And God, for the guys in this room who are called to be servant leaders, spiritual leaders in their house, would you cause them to minister to their family and to serve the Lord's Supper together today? God, bless your people. Be with them as they come to your table and do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.